God bless you guys. God bless the world, buddy. Let's go race.
This is the Loud Pedal Podcast. A very diverse cast of automobile racing characters.
Slider for the lead and the win. He tagged the Cushman drag race to the line. Who got it? Give it to Rico.
With your host, NBC Sports television analyst and part-time midget racer, it's D. Welch and Mr. Dylan Welch.
Yeah, you damn right I got
that. What happened out there?
Oh, that stupid-ass flagman. They got a dumb-ass flagman that can't see.
And an expert in only one category, food.
Yeah. Look how big those things are.
Meat on the bone there.
And cook perfect.
Well, sometimes racing, but mostly food.
When you're talking a meal, like before I'm about to die, I will ask for 15 to 20 chicken wings.
It's Heavy Lunch, Tyler Burnett.
Welcome to episode 99 of the Loud Pedal Podcast, the Wayne Gretzky episode of Loud Pedal.
The 99P episode.
The 99P, right? Didn't you make the Chili Bowl with that number?
Yep.
Oh boy. What's your number going to be this year, by the way?
58.
Who's 58? There's not even a famous 58, is there?
I don't think I'm about to make it famous. Hopefully for better.
Hanging up in the rafters. Hanging up in the rafters.
Yeah, for better or worse.
The 99th episode of the Loud Pedal Podcast. We are hoping to, on episode 100, we've been discussing potentially getting on Kyle Larson and grilling him on why he's not coming to the Chili Bowl. Because we know the reason why he's not coming to the Chili Bowl, and that's because he's going to race a freaking late model out west. So during the same exact week, but neither here nor there. He can't win the Chili Bowl anymore. You know, he can't win a midget race anymore. Obviously, we saw that Turkey Night, so he's got to go race late models. But anyways, maybe we'll get Larson on the 100th episode, a huge episode on the Loud Pedal Podcast. Today on the show, Lacey Doyle. She considers herself the car chief for Justin Grant, right, at RMS Racing. She is the shop manager at RMS. Clinton Boyles used to be the shop manager when he stepped down to go work for 100%. His son, I almost called him his son-in-law, his brother-in-law, Hunter Schoenberg, on the All-Star Tour. Lacey Doyle took over as the shop manager. The car chief for Justin Grant. She does all the work on the car for Justin Grant. Grant just kind of makes the calls, and they've won 6 races this year with the USAC National Midget Series and won Turkey Night. Big night for them over the weekend.
Yeah, and you know, Lacey's an engineer by trade. I mean, went to school to be an engineer, and you know, you'll hear in her interview, she's got lots of experience and other things that, you know, have allowed her to kind of jump into this open wheel stuff and still, you know, has to learn things, admittedly, but, you know, is bringing a lot of smarts, frankly, to this industry, you know, and I think it's really cool that not only is, you know, she an engineer, but she's also a female, obviously. And that's great to have, you know, somebody like her, frankly, in the industry and in the pits doing what she's doing. So it's been really cool to follow her and follow her success.
We are recording this Wednesday, November 30th. So happy Turkey Day. We have passed Thanksgiving. We have to rush this, though, because we have still yet to pay for Zoom. And the upgrade is happening in about 2.5 minutes. So we need to jump right to our Sundollar Restoration Hat Shakes of the Week, brought to you by Sundollar Restoration. Visit them at sundollar.net. Water, fire, mold restoration in the greater Indianapolis area. They'll put a roof on your house, and they are great people. Jason and Kim are great friends of Dylan and I, and they support racing. So we support them and everything they do. Who's your hat shakes here? I mean, your team here, D. Welch, did pretty well out west. They put both cars in the Turkey Night Grand Prix. What is it? Abacus Racing.
Yeah.
What do you got for your hat shake this week?
We
rush this.
I was going to score some brownie points and give one to the team, to Abacus, but also to Daniel Whitley, you know, who drives the 57 car. I thought he was really impressive. I mean, CB was too, but I thought Whitley was just like fast and just really good. You know, needs some more laps to kind of learn how to race. But that'll come, but he's fast, you know, and he's aggressive and he makes good moves, and having never heard of him, you know, a couple months ago, I thought he had a really good showing out there. So, Excited to be teammates with him at Chili Bowl, and excited to see the speed that those guys had in both cars out there, you know, all month. So it should be a good, good indoor season.
My hat shake is going to Buddy Kofoid and Jared over at KKM for one of the most impressive midget seasons to ever be tallied. 13 wins the final night. Well, actually the second to last night at Merced, November 23rd, they drove from 14th to second, in one corner, I think. I'm pretty sure. No, they won the race at Merced. It looked like they were racing on the World of Outlaws game on Xbox on easy mode. Like, it was insane. Kofoid, 13 wins this year. If it's the last time we see him with the USAC National Midget Series, he is going to go down as a top five midget driver of all time, in my opinion. He is one of the great assistant in a midget, and congratulations on the season they had. Let's chat with Lacey Doyle. Those are our Sun Dollar Restoration Hat Shakes of the Week. Play Dirt Draft this week. It's a big week. Whoever's going on, dirtdraft.com. You can check them out. Our friends there. We are out of time. Let's check with Lacey. She is next.
Gentlemen, start your engines. The race cars, too, are historic. They are the ancestors of the current Indianapolis car.
As we get ready for exciting USAC Dirt Car Racing.
But we're not here for horses, we're here for horsepower.
Welcome back to the Loud Pedal Podcast, episode 99. We're joined by Lacey Doyle, as we promised, the crew chief for Justin Grant, who works with RMS Racing. Lacey, congratulations on the Turkey Night win. Obviously, you guys got some big wins out west, but thanks for coming on the show. This is your first time on the show, right?
Yep. Thank you. Yeah, it's first time on the show. I was kind of nervous here.
So tell your story to people that don't know. How did you get involved in racing at all? And then, and kind of how did you end up with the RMS guys?
Well, to kind of shorten it up, I did some machining classes in high school, which led me to be a MET student at Purdue Northwest. And I did a Baja racing team with the SAE Baja team there for 4 years. And that kind of led me to do some fab work. And that's kind of how I fell in with Joe at EnviroFab. I was a welder for him. And I specifically found him, and I actually messaged him on Facebook to get a job because I saw that he built race cars on the side. And I wanted to work my way into doing that. So I was mainly a fab worker for like 6 months or so before I started really doing anything on the race cars. But Joe let me build spare parts and stuff when Clinton Boyles was our shop manager. And then eventually I took over the management position at RMS, and it's kind of progressed from there slowly but surely.
I saw that Clinton was out there helping you guys. He was the shop manager before you, right? Was he back working with you guys a little bit?
So this year we kind of like, RMS used to have a lot of people come to the racetrack and help them out, but we kind of like downsized a little bit. And with Justin, there was aspects that I couldn't really help Justin with at the racetrack, because I'm so new to it. So we kind of brought Clinton out there because Clinton himself is a driver. Him and Justin are buddies, so they have a connection that like me and Justin don't have. And Clinton can really help him with like where to drive, like setup stuff, whereas I'm still learning all this setup stuff on the car. And so we kind of brought him out there for his knowledge and the fact that he's one of Justin's friends that had the time to come out there and help us for the whole time.
So what is your, like, at the racetrack, like, what's your day-to-day role? Like, are you hands-on with the car, or are you just kind of directing people, telling people what to do? Like, what is your job title when you guys are going racing?
So I am the shop manager, so I manage, like, when we get there, I kind of lay out our pit area, make sure everything is set up nicely and everybody has room to work. I make sure people have all the parts and consumables and stuff that they need. But along with that, I am the primary worker on Grant's car. So I don't call myself a crew chief because Justin essentially crew chiefs his own car. I've been going by car chief because I do like the work on his car at the track. Like I do all the maintenance and such like by myself. Most of the time I do his tires and all of that, but I don't really make like setup calls the way Justin does. So essentially I do all the things minus make the big calls on the car.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're basically the head wrench, and then Justin is kind of his own crew chief and makes the calls on the car, right? But you've learned a lot from him, though, right? Like in setups and stuff?
Yeah, I have. That's before this year, we had Donnie Gentry that was his actual crew chief, and they would go back and forth. But like I said, I don't have enough knowledge to be able to do that back and forth thing with him. So, like, that's why we kind of brought Clinton out. Clinton ended up helping me do maintenance and stuff, make my day a little bit easier, and then he would help Justin go back and forth and decide what was good, what was too far, and all that. So just because it was such a big swing and it was a big deal to get back to where we started the year with, you know.
Are you interested in becoming like a actual crew chief at some point? Like is that a goal of yours, or are you kind of happy where you're at in that role?
That's kind of the end goal, but I've realized it's going to take a lot longer than I thought. Like when I came into this, I really didn't have a goal. I was just happy to be here, to be honest with you. I was just happy to do anything and everything that I could to like help the team. But that recently, especially after this trip with what I've learned and stuff like that, is essentially my end goal. But I realized that's going to take a lot more time and like effort than I had realized in the beginning, but I'm willing to put in the time and effort to do that. So just one step at a time to get to that level, I guess.
Yeah. It's tricky because Baja racing is a lot different than circle track racing, right? The circle track cars, I mean, a centimeter could change the way the car gets around the track, right? Whereas Baja, it's more erratic. You know, there's jumps, lefts and right turns. I mean, have you found that these race cars, though beautiful and though you really wanted to get your hands on them, are really tough to figure out?
Yes, and especially because, like, when I say I did Baja racing, what we did in college was I was an engineering student, so we designed the cars and fabricated everything on them. So I've machined gearboxes, I built suspension systems, I built frames, stuff like that. So it wasn't ever really like we were setting the car up. We were like, oh, this might work. This geometry works for this kind of event that we're doing. So it's completely different. It's just I had the mechanical side of the hands-on aspect to help me be able to do the hands-on portion of these cars. So I really had no knowledge of setup stuff in general on cars, let alone the midgets, which I have come to realize, like, it's simple four corners, but there's a lot to do with the track and tires and bars and all of that. So shocks. I don't even pay attention to shocks. I'm like, you got your shocks. Like, that's the one thing that the drivers 100% take care of, is they decide their shock packages. They decide, I'm like, I'll get them to CSI for you, but you have to tell them what you want done to them. So.
Yeah, so that's interesting. But like, so is there anything from that way of thinking, like the kind of math geometry way of thinking that you went to school for and did with your other stuff, that has applied to this form of racing? Like, there obviously are more variables, like you mentioned, but has that way of thinking translated at all to the open wheel midget stuff that you've been doing?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like the background mindset of it, like the understanding of it, definitely had, like, the understanding of like what I learned in college has helped me understand this, the whole midget racing concept better, and like the setup stuff better. Because like, if I don't think I would really understand what's going on with the race car at all if I didn't go to school. Like when me and Justin bring the car back and we scale it, and like the weight ratio on the corners, like center gravity, all of that, where you're looking at the car in like a static position, like that makes a lot more sense to me knowing what I know from college.
Sure.
Like if I just knew how to turn a wrench and be like, oh, I know how to tighten bolts and put things together, like I'd be like, I have no clue what we're talking about here.
Yeah. It seems like, well, every time I visited you guys, right, your shop and stuff like that, Joe and Dave and those guys are really are cool to work for. You enjoy working for RMS Racing, right? And also, I think Dave is also proud of the fact that you are one of few women that work on these race cars. Are you proud of that fact as well?
Oh yeah, 100%. That's one of the best parts about this is that, like, in high school, like, I never had anybody to look up to like that. Like, I kind of just, like, made my own way. So, like, ever since high school, I've had to, like, I was, like, one of those people that did it first. So, like, everybody's always wants to do, like, an interview or put, like, I was in the newspaper in college because I was the female lead female welder for Purdue Northwest Baja. And then I worked in the shop, like, in high school, I had a 2-page spread in the yearbook because I was the first girl in high school to do 4 years of machine shop. Like, and after the fact, I see a lot more girls go into that specific thing. Like, when I left high school, I talked to my teacher a little bit 2 years later, and he's like, yeah, after you left, there was like 10 girls that joined my introductory class. So it really... It's kind of a big deal. Like, I don't like to like push it on people, but it's kind of a big deal for me, essentially, because it's something that I wish I had more of growing up. But it's, I guess, at least at minimum, I could be that for somebody else, even though I didn't really have that.
Where did you find the passion for that, those trades? Like, were you exposed to that at a young age, or why is that what you wanted to do?
I mean, not really. It's really weird. It just like kind of popped out of nowhere. Like, my dad was a construction worker my whole life. So like I would get my like little hammer set and he would let me like pound nails into a piece of wood when I was younger, you know, like that was like the extent of it really. And it really started in high school because I wanted to do a wood shop class, but they didn't have that. So I did that machine shop class, and that actually led to me being an oil tech for 3 years because my buddies were in there and I was like, I want to learn about cars, like just like regular cars, but I know nothing about them. And they're like, oh, you're fine. We'll get you in there and we'll teach you how to do it. So I did oil changes and tires and brakes for 3 years at the end of high school and going into college. And then I found the Baja team, and the working as an oil tech kind of helped me already know how to work on cars in that way. So, and then the machining. So it all kind of stemmed from high school, I guess. I guess I could say high school is where I really found the drive for those kinds of things. And I just found that I was good at them. So I really liked that. Like, I was just, it was just something that came naturally. Like, I naturally just was able to learn it and be good at it. So it's never really been hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Where did you go to high school?
Lake Central.
Cool. Yeah. I wish I had those opportunities at my high school. That's awesome stuff. That's cool.
I had like a graduating class of like 1,200 kids. So it was a big high school.
Yeah.
So. Dylan cannot work on a race car. He sits in them and drives them, right?
Nobody ever let me.
There's a reason for that. No, just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, it's cool because so Flo yesterday they did like this film. Well, the Dirt Series film, right? Your guys' team's featured in it twice with Justin Grant and Thomas Reserol. That's going to be coming out on Flo Racing. Well, there's this really cool scene from the Chili Bowl last year. Where Justin was like, everyone get away from my GD race car. And Lacey is working on this thing because there was an electrical issue rolling down the ramp. And you were actually in the car as you were going down the ramp, fixing an electrical issue, right? Like, do you love crunching, like, last minute issues? I mean, like, are you good at, like, working under pressure like that?
I, like, in that kind of aspect, I am. Like, when we're at the racetrack, like, that was like a little bit of an easier issue to fix, but like when we're at the racetrack and we're like fixing stuff in pit lane and stuff like that, I get a little flustered sometimes because it's the amount of people that are there that are trying to help fix it that kind of gets me all over the place. But at Chili Bowl specifically, that was because there was all those people who were part of our team, and me and Justin had been working on the car and all of that together for that whole time, and just too many people were around it, and I was the one that was asking questions like, hey, is it this? Because everybody's just like freaking out, and I was like, well, did we check this? Because it could only be a handful of things with the electrical, because I had been working on the car all week. I know what was touched and what was not, you know. So he got kind of flustered because there was six people around his car. Nobody was actually asking the right questions and checking things off the list. They were all re-looking at the same thing maybe, and ended up being something inside the car that was messed up that we had to have him fix. And I, while he was doing that, I started plugging everything back in because everybody started unplugging stuff, making sure it wasn't like the ignition box or something outside of the car or like batteries and stuff. So that's actually what you see me doing. I was plugging the ignition box back in and putting the panels back on the car so there wasn't floppy panels everywhere. And they started pushing the car. I'm like, okay, well, I'm here. So just keep pushing and I'll finish this up.
You're obviously like really, you know, switched on and just intelligent about these race cars and stuff. And I know your team obviously appreciates you, but what is the, like, do you feel like you've been welcomed into kind of this part of the sport? Like, has everybody been welcoming to you despite you being, you know, one of the only female in kind of this industry? Like, what has your reception been, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, now everybody is at like this point in time, everybody is, but like at the beginning, it was a little hard for me because like me not coming in here with like no knowledge of, like, when I started, I didn't even know what midgets were. So like, that's how fresh I was, to say. So at the beginning, it was a little hard for people that were around our team and stuff to do that, minus Joe and Dave. Like they would be at the shop and they would know the things that I knew how to do and like didn't know how to do, but they also knew that I was like a questions person. Like I was like I'm gonna ask you stupid questions just so I can verify myself. Sometimes I might ask you the same question three times just to make sure I know,
right?
But Joe and Dave are actually the ones that helped me gain that confidence and the respect from others, because there had been times where Joe was like, look, you can't like be mad that she's here working on it. You have to let her help because she knows what's going on. Like, she actually goes back to the shop. Like, there was at that time, like I said, it was only like Clinton Boyles was the shop manager. So he mainly did the car stuff, but like I was around for a lot of the other aspects of it. And I knew things to do on the cars, but like I would never set my boundary of, I would never try to do something I didn't know how to do. If I didn't know how to do something, I would just be like, look, I don't know how to do that, so unless you have time to teach me, that's just not something I do. So sure. it was hard at the beginning, but like I said, Joe and Dave kind of really helped me gain that respect from people until I was able to do it myself and like prove myself to people.
Sure.
Yeah. And you get to hang and build the cars more than anybody, right? You're the shop manager. So you're in there and you know the back ends in and out of the cars and stuff like that. You guys won six races with USAC this year, you and Grant specifically. RMS won the first four races of the season with USAC. You know, you and Grant both swept Ocala, and then Team S won the first night at the Southern Illinois Center, and then you guys won, of course, the last night in DuQuoin, and then finished off the season at Turkey Night. I mean, two different race car drivers, right? Thomas Meserol and Justin Grant. You got, like, one guy who's super wild. I do notice that Team S also does his own shocks, too, but they both have – a different personality when it comes to working on the race car as well. You know, Team S more laid back, where Grant is more like diligent, taking notes and stuff like that. They both know how to rip though, don't they?
Yeah, 100%. It's always crazy how good they both are, but they're so much different, but they're like very similar in aspects too. Like, but I don't know. They are very much different, though, at the racetrack. On and off the racetrack, I should say.
Yeah, for sure. What? So I guess before we get you out of here, what do you want to accomplish? Like, what's your ultimate goal in racing? Are you good? You know, do you want to stay where you're at? Do you want to go work IndyCar? Do you want to work in NASCAR? I mean, do you have an ultimate goal and where you want to end up in racing?
I haven't really gotten that far. Like I said, I never really had – all this was kind of like – not like tossed into my lap, but it's nothing that I ever thought I would actually get to do. And I never saw my life going this direction. So essentially right now at this very moment, I would like to progress in the open wheel racing and be able to be a crew chief on my own without, like, I want to make the calls. I want to learn and do that and have that kind of confidence in myself before I move on to anything that's like bigger, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
If an opportunity presents itself somewhere else that could be good for me and provide like more learning opportunities for me, I might have to take it. But as of right now, I'm really happy with the people I'm around and the knowledge I've been gaining. Like even this trip, I learned a lot, and there's a lot of things I want to do differently at RMS from this trip to make us better and make us a better team. So,
yeah, I'm sure your guys' Chili Bowl plans have already been in the works, right? Like you guys are already almost done with those cars.
Yeah. Well, actually the cars were done from last year. All I had to do is put a motor in them, a seat in them and a wiring harness. And they're basically done. Do my once over, grease some things. And those are basically done. So,
yeah. Dave said that you guys are only running two cars this year, right?
That was the idea. I think that's already changed. I ended up with another driver's seat in my trailer coming home from California. I won't name names yet, but because I don't know if anybody said anything. But I ended up with an extra driver's seat in there. So we'll see. We'll see. The amount of cars is still to be determined.
I was going to say, you guys have had like six cars the past couple of years, I think, or something like that with Basin and Brad Sweet. And I think David Gravel even ran for you guys at one point. But then Dave was like, I only want to do two. You know, we got two full-time guys. Let's just go to the Chili Bowl, try to win it with two guys. And then now we got a third seat coming back. So we don't know what's happening. Yeah. Here, right?
Yeah. So it's still to be determined. Like I said, we'll see how far it goes. We might just end up with six cars. I was trying to sell at least two of them before we got the Chili Bowl so that there wasn't an option.
Smart.
To minimize the amount of cars we bring, but yeah, they're still sitting in my shop, so there's still the option of having two extra cars. And I have a new frame there, so God knows.
Sell them off, get a sprint car. That's the next idea, right?
That's what I was hoping for. That's what we were talking about for a while. We were talking about getting a sprint car and going sprint car racing for fun at local stuff, but my dreams were crushed with that. But it's still an option. It's still in the air. It's just a matter of finding time to do that, I guess.
Well, congratulations on the year you guys had. Congrats on the Turkey Night win, and we'll see you at the Chili Bowl, all right?
All right, thank you so much. Yep, I'll see you at Chili Bowl.